Bad Belly woke from troubled dreams he didn't understand. Entire forests had been cut down and burned to make way for the golden-haired crop. He'd heard the soul of the land cry out as rains washed the soil away in muddy torrents, while the feet of men packed hard trails over the country. The howl of a grieving wolf lingered in his memory, wailing like the death of a dream, chilling his spirit. Had it been real, or just part of the dream? He blinked in the night, aware that Trouble's body heat no longer kept him warm. He poked his head out from under the covering of the robe and looked around. Snow, a hand's depth of it, had fallen on their small camp, and heavy wet flakes continued to whirl out of the night sky. The rounded depression left by Trouble could be seen, as could the dog tracks leading off up the steep-walled canyon they'd picked to camp in. Bad Belly closed his eyes. Probably a coyote bitch in heat somewhere. The last time Trouble followed the lure, he'd come limping home with great gashes in his hide from battling for the bitch. And losing, no doubt. Bad Belly stood up and shook the blanket of snow off his robe before wrapping it around him. Something thumped on his foot, and he reached down to fish the pouch of stone teeth out of the fluffy snow. He'd been fingering them just before he went to sleep, planning the necklace he'd make of them. Wake Left Hand?
No. I've already caused enough problems for Left Hand. Let him sleep.
After all Bad Belly had to do was follow Trouble's tracks a little way up the canyon and whistle. In a heartbeat, they'd be back asleep under the snow, with no one the wiser. Bad Belly imagined what he'd do to Trouble. But no matter what he threatened, he could never hurt his friend. Dogs were just dogs. He bent low and squinted in the faint light. Trouble's tracks were filling, even as he watched. The afterimages of the dream added to his apprehension as he hurried along the dog's trail. Bad Belly moved out far enough not to wake Left Hand or his keen-eared pack dogs.
Trouble? Hey, Trouble, come on! This is foolish. There's Trouble! You go messing around with them coyotes and I'll have to carry you all the way to Singing Stones. Trouble?
The tracks didn't look any fresher. Worse, the trail grew steeper. Bad Belly scratched at his chin where a snowflake had melted and run in a trickle.
Trouble! Maybe I will beat you half to death. Look at me. I'm gonna be wet and cold and miserable for the rest of the night. You're a dog. Dogs are used to being miserable. You got that wonderful fur coat.
The trees grew thicker here. A game trail wound up around the rocks and through the thick serviceberry that choked the canyon bottom. Bad Belly drew up. How far had he come?
Trouble!
Trouble had never before gone this far, not even when he lived at Round Rock and knew the country.
If I had half a wit, I'd just turn around and go back. Pus and maggots, Trouble. If you can find your way clear up here, you can find your way back to camp. Except that Trouble's my best friend. He's never let me down.
Bad Belly plodded on. How long until morning? What would Left Hand say if he lost traveling time? Bad Belly pushed harder up the steep canyon. The deep snow, knee-high in places where it had drifted, impeded his progress. He ducked under a fir tree, searching for Trouble's tracks. The hair on his neck lifted. Among them, he could make out a wolf's tracks.
Oh, Trouble!
He dashed along.
Trouble!
The wind battered Bad Belly as he stumbled out of the canyon and into the open. Through the haze of falling snow, he couldn't make out any landmarks. Trouble's tracks made only faint dimples in the whiteness. Forcing himself on, Bad Belly ran, thrashing forward on Trouble's trail. A pile of rocks, rounded and worn by wind and storm, loomed ahead. The tracks wove in and out through the outcrop and into the flats beyond. Wind blasted at Bad Belly as he staggered on, knowing that Trouble couldn't be far ahead.
Hunger and thirst on you, Trouble. I can't help it if you go faster than I do, but I swear I'm gonna beat you within a handbreadth of your life. You hear me? Trouble!
He plodded around drainages and past gnarled trees, twisted and dwarfed by the wind. How high had he climbed anyway? His feet ached and throbbed from the cold.
Left Hand is gonna throw a fit. You hear me, dog? All he's ever done is be nice to us, and we're gonna make him regret he took us along.
A growing chill numbed Bad Belly's hands. The pouch with the stone teeth dangled from one clenched fist. Bad Belly slipped the thong over his head so he wouldn't lose it.
I should have awakened Left Hand. He's gonna be worried sick.
He sank up to his waist in a deep drift and floundered to the other side.
Trouble! Get back here! Trouble!
Bad Belly charged ahead, relief filling him. At least he'd reached the dog before the wolf had. Trouble came bounding out of the curtain of snow, tail wagging. Bad Belly dropped to his knees, hugging the snow-encrusted dog to his chest.
Trouble! What's the matter with you? I ought to break every bone in your body.
The dog jerked and squirmed in Bad Belly's grip as he reached up to lick Bad Belly's face. The furry black tail swished back and forth in the fluffy snow like a whip.
Following a wolf? And dragging me all over in the night? Come on. Let's go back. We have to get back to camp before Left Hand wakes up and finds us gone.
Bad Belly started back the way he'd come, Trouble following. He broke through the drift and climbed up the slope, tracks growing ever fainter. At the summit, he scouted around and found nothing but wind-blown snow.
Which way?
He looked back at his dog.
Home, Trouble. Find the way.
Trouble stared at him, ears up, his head cocked.
Home! Track!
Trouble lowered his nose to the snow, taking off at a trot.
That's a good boy.
Hours later, when the sun grayed the eastern horizon, Bad Belly came to the conclusion that wherever he was, he'd never been there before. He should have come to the rock outcrop he'd wound through in the night, then found the trees and the steep canyon. Worse, the way they were going now didn't slope steeply at all, and it sloped the wrong way. Bad Belly stared around. Any landmarks remained hidden in the ground blizzard. He shook his head slowly.
Trouble, what did you lead me into? Now we're lost.
A violent blast of air almost blew him off his feet. Fine snow sifted through the gaps in his tightly clutched robe. Trouble flopped down in the white power to chew the caked snow from between the pads of his feet. He looked up with curious brown eyes.
One thing's certain. Tracks are gone. And we have to find shelter.
Three Bulls stood and stepped out into the snow. He turned, staring down at White Ash with a leering grin on his angular face. She glared hatred back as she sought to overpower his smug satisfaction with her own disgust and anger. He lifted the bottom of his war shirt to relieve himself. White Ash trembled, looking away, unable to stand the sight of his male flesh. At the sound of his water pattering into the snow, she'd cowered. Fragments of thoughts drifted loosely about her head. Escape! Run! She gathered her legs under her, furtive eyes boring into his back. She took a careful step and placed one foot on the worn rock. She made another step, the last before the snow would crunch and give her away.
Big storm. Look at the sky. Black. Dark. This storm will continue for a long time. Good thing I caught you, huh?
The snow would make escape that much harder. He could track her without effort, but she had to try.
Ugh!
Desperation charged her rubbery muscles as she leaped into the darkness. She ran, calling upon all the exhausted reserves in her body. She smashed face first into the fluffy snow, driven down by his crushing weight. Hard hands tangled in her hair, jerking her back.
You're a captive of Three Bulls. I've had too much trouble with women as it is. I'll teach you not to run away.
The fist caught her on the side of the head, blasting lights like lightning flashes behind her eyes. Three Bulls sat on her, pushing her down into the snow. With one hand twisted in her hair, he used the other to beat her. Then her vision blurred. Brave Man walked down from the ridge and into the ruins of the camp. Most of the lodge covers had been piled onto a bonfire kindled by the lodge poles. Packs had been ripped open, and the contents, what the raiders couldn't use, scattered here and there. Brave Man walked among the corpses, noting familiar faces, eyeless now, since the keen ravens went for those first. The coyotes always went for the gut. Whistling Hare lay sprawled on his face. Badger had taken a dart in the back before someone had driven another through his heart. Bobcat had been riddled with darts before someone slashed his throat. Little Drummer had taken a dart through the kidneys and from the blood trail, had crawled for a way before a second dart had been driven between his shoulder blades. Flying Squirrel lay face down, her skull cracked open, the brains exposed. One by one, he identified them.
But we find no White Ash.
She lives!
Brave Man stooped over the body of Old Falcon, staring down into the remains of the old man's face. His own blow had landed between Old Falcon's eyes.
I am sorry, Soul Flyer. You would have challenged my power. It was better this way. Better that you died at my hand than that of the wolf people. You got to know in the end. You felt true power of a kind you'd only guessed at.
Brave Man hadn't planned on killing Old Falcon, but the Soul Flyer had walked him to the edge of camp and threatened him with exile from the clan. The pain had welled in Brave Man's head, causing him to blink. The rush of anger had traced fire through his veins as he turned to the Soul Flyer.
Goodbye, Old Falcon.
Now, in the light of day, what remained of Old Falcon looked pitifully broken and shabby.
I only came back to steal White Ash away. Had I known the wolf people were so close, I'd have taken her that night, old man. Now I have to find her. She is missing with Soft Snow, Dancing Rose, Grass Woman, and Red Cow.
Captives of the wolf people.
Only the young women and some of the children were taken.
Brave Man glared down the trail, fingering his darts. 2 days' head start? The wolf people would be traveling slowly, since they didn't need to worry about retaliation.
Be careful.
I know. But I need to search for just a little while longer. Windrunner's body is nowhere to be seen. And I don't see Sage Ghost either.
Brave Man worked out the pattern of tracks that revealed where warriors and captives had marched off to the east. Too many feet had trod here for him to follow an individual trail.
Is White Ash with Windrunner?
No. Wolf people, they have her.
Brave Man glanced up as the first flakes of snow twirled down. He turned and sniffed, gathering the scent of the coming storm.
Wet storm. Big.
Broken stones. Broken stones.
If the wolf people have her, she'll be up in the mountains. It will take a war party of Broken Stones warriors to get her back. Yes, if I have to destroy every man, woman, and child among the wolf people, I'll have her. Together, White Ash and I will dream the power. We will weave the new way.
For the second time in his life, Brave Man walked away from a camp of the dead. And in doing so, the power grew within him. White Ash lay with her eyes closed, locked in wretched misery. They'd been trapped here for 3 days. Her captor lay curled around her as he slept. His body heat and the robe that covered them protected her from the creeping cold as snow filtered down from above, dusting the interior of the overhang. White Ash sucked at her lip, ragged now where she'd chewed it each time the warrior had taken her. Her soul shriveled and curled. He'd hurt her when he'd forced himself inside. When she'd resisted, he'd cuffed her on the side of the head, gripping her around the throat to choke the fight out of her. Her breasts ached where his calloused fingers had squeezed until he'd bruised them. A tear broke loose from her tightly clamped eyelids. Hatred and anger fought to rise over the disgust and uncleanliness she felt inside. The horror of Three Bulls' possession grew worse with the knowledge that had he not found her, she would have frozen in this storm. She lived because this man of the wolf people had violated her. She lived because he had come out of the night to rape her, to cover her with his warmth and his buffalo robe. The food in his pack had nourished her. His fire had warmed them. He shifted his weight on top of her. White Ash tensed, her involuntary reaction bringing him awake.
bad storm.
Good thing I tracked you. You would have died.
White Ash desperately prayed that he'd go back to sleep. No, he needed to repeat the story of his hunt.
I thought I saw you run when we destroyed the camp. The light was bad, but I saw your hair flying loose as you ran. After we killed the last of the Sun people, I stayed behind looking around. I found the place where you climbed up through the snow. I followed. No man tracks better than three bulls.
He raised a hand to grope her sore breast. She locked her jaws, body trembling. He tightened his grip.
Bad storm. Cold. We need to stay warm, you and I. I'm feeling cold again.
He raised himself to pull up the hem of her worn leather dress.
It will be a long night. You and I will need to stay warm a lot.
He shifted as he reached to pull the robe over his back where it had slipped off, and in doing so exposed her hand to the chilly ground. Her fingers brushed something round and cold that lay on the gritty sandstone. The fires of hope raced through her veins. Bad Belly trudged his way to a wind-dusted point of rocks that looked out over the land that spread below. He stood on a promontory that jutted up from the north slope of the sideways mountains. Gradual inclines rose to the irregular peaks, all of them deep in a mantle of unbroken white. Bad Belly stared and shook his head. He'd passed 4 days of misery working his way down the summits. For 2 days now, his stomach had growled its hunger. Travel through the deep snow had sapped his strength, and cold had worked into his very bones.
This is all your fault, Trouble.
The dog stood beside him happily, sniffing the wind. Bad Belly turned his gaze to the terrain ahead of him. Immediately to the west, the Grey Deer River ran through a canyon in the sideways mountains. Half blinded by the blowing snow, he'd almost fallen off one of those steep cliffs when he'd wandered too close to the edge. To the north stretched the rocky bones of the basin. Out there, the wolf people hunted when they came down from the Grass Meadow Mountains, rising like sentinels to the east. A series of dark red ridges rose where the river twisted its way through the bottomlands. Beyond a turn of that river, a pillar of steam lifted from a spot in the buff-capped bluffs a half-day's walk away.
Hot water springs. A power place.
He'd heard plenty of stories about the huge springs, where water too hot to touch boiled out of the earth. Curious formations held the water in pools before it ran into the Grey Deer River. Larkspur liked to tell the story about how she had gone to the hot springs once as a girl and bathed in the waters. While there, she'd received a vision that told her to return home, that her oldest sister had died through the actions of a malevolent spirit. She'd gone back to Round Rock and sung a power song that drove the bad spirit away and reclaimed the camp for the clan. Bad Belly watched the billowing steam. As often as he'd heard the story, he'd come to believe that Larkspur had gone someplace outside this world. Now he stared at that very place. A sense of wonder possessed him. A patch of cloud parted and sunlight spilled around him. He squinted. Snow blindness could strike a man at this time of year. When the sun hit the column of steam, the vapor glowed brightly. He would go down there and see the hot springs before he stumbled into the next calamity awaiting him.
Well, let's go. Left Hand is probably most of the way to his people by now.
He grimaced at Trouble's happy face.
You just had to follow that wolf, didn't you? Look at the mess you got us in.
Trouble looked up, tail wagging. Bad Belly looked up at the cloudy sky.
Warm fire. You don't know what you got me into when you made me promise. Now I really have problems. As if I didn't have enough as it was. I'll go down there and get killed by some Sun People warrior or something.
Bad Belly started down the slope toward the silver ribbon of the Grey Deer River. In a world of white, White Ash stumbled forward aimlessly. Her feet kicked up the fluffy wet flakes as the deep snow dragged at the leather of her soggy moccasins. The mantle of white hid rocks and brush. More than once she tripped and fell. Each fall drained more of her flagging energy and caked her with wet snow that melted to soak her clothing. She felt faint, detached from the world.
One foot in front of the other.
She forced herself on, step after step, a simple pattern of movement her numb mind could understand. She gave no thought to her direction, driven only to place as much distance as she could between herself and that horrible rock overhang. The red splotches of Three Bulls' blood crusted on her sleeve and under her fingernails. She'd reveled in the rushing warmth of his spurting blood as it soaked her hands. The sound of the sharpened quartzite cobble smacking time after time into his bones would echo in her dreams until she died.
Was that really me?
She remembered the fear-charged power of her muscles as she attacked him. Not until she'd exhausted herself had she finally dropped the quartzite cobble. Then terror seized her soul. The image of his wrecked features burned into her memory. She'd never forget his battered body lying on the crumbling sandstone. Her foot caught in buried sage and she fell again, the cold wetness of the snow eating into her face and hands. She floundered, battling to stand. Then she retrieved each of Three Bulls' darts from the snow where she'd dropped them. At least she'd had sense enough to grab up his pack before she fled. Now she had fire sticks of hard wood and his atlatl and darts. With weapons and the ability to kindle a fire, she could survive.
Where do you go?
White Ash cast a frightened look over her shoulder. The snow formed strange, haunting shapes, almost like faces, that seemed to swoop forward on icy wings. She charged forward, tripped, and fell again. She could sense a lurking presence watching, waiting, following in her tracks. She scrambled awkwardly to her feet, her stomach aching from hunger. The muscles of her legs trembled from exhaustion. The world shimmered and went hazy in her vision. Hazy, then gray. White Ash came too, lying in the snow. She couldn't feel her hands or feet. She blinked against the swirling grayness that spun about her foggy thoughts. She staggered up, lost her balance, and fell heavily. A dark shadow loomed over her.
No! Leave me alone!
She lunged to her feet again, forcing herself to run, the edges of her vision blurring as she looked back and saw nothing. The earth spun and went gray again. The cold bite of snow on her face brought her back to consciousness once more. How long had she lain there this time? Pushed too far. Even her body had failed her. Violent shivers shook her and splintered her vision. She blinked, staring up at the sky. Sunlight broke through the clouds in bars. Did the light trick her? An image formed in the patchy clouds. A man of fire stared down at her, concern on his face. She got a foot under her and stood. Her vagina burned like a wound. Her breasts chafed angrily on the leather of her dress. Her battered face had gone wooden from the cold, the bruises too chilled to sting. With the atlatl shaft, she propped herself up. One step after another, she wobbled forward. Her tumbling thoughts refused to form. Which way? Downhill. Downhill was easier. Dazed, balance uncertain, she fought to place her feet. They had become so numb she couldn't feel the ground under them. She traveled mindlessly onward, barely aware that the land had flattened out into a broad valley. Driven only by shocked instinct, she staggered forward.
I am alone. Nothing is left. Not my people. Not Windrunner. Nothing.
White Ash passed, oblivious among the gray boles of cottonwood trees, struggling through the snow and thick grass. She crashed through a stand of willows and stared dully at a river. Which river? Owlishly, she peered around. A sheer walled canyon cut the sideways mountains to the south. The Grey Deer River?
Seek who you do not know.
White Ash blinked at the silty current and stumbled down to the edge of the water, heart aching at the barrier before her. She peered down at the swiftly moving river.
Water. I can clean.
Everything but my soul.
Horrifying images of Threeble's leer tormented her. White Ash ripped her clothing off. At the odor of rape, her throat constricted with the urge to vomit. She scooped sand from the river with hands that had lost all feeling. Even the sting of the cold had gone. She began scrubbing her flesh, splashing her thighs and belly. Movement caught at the corner of her eye. Who? What? She spun around. Nausea swept her.
Who are you?
She grabbed her robe and pack and lurched forward, slogging out into the sucking cold of the river, barely aware of the drifting ice that bumped against her skin.
Cross! Just escape! Out here! Get away!
Shivering uncontrollably, she tripped on the slippery rocks. As she went under, the bone-deep cold penetrated the last of her warmth. Water swirled her hair around her face in a strangling net. She struggled feebly against the current. Her soul drifted as if it had come free.
I'm dying. Dying. I'll be free. Floating and warm like bright moon. Maybe in the camp of the dead I can smile again.
Bad Belly stood up, smacking his coat and digging out the cold, wet stuff that had been scooped up when he'd fallen down the slope. In the valley below, the Grey Deer River gleamed with an opalescent fire.
Find the dreamer, Warmfire said.
Bad Belly threw snow at Trouble as he wagged his tail after bounding down the slope. On four agile feet, he caught the snowball and chomped it, eagerly, waiting for more.
You had to follow some wolf in the middle of the night, didn't you? I'll bet if you could talk, you'd tell me it was a black wolf, too. Some spirit animal bent on getting me in trouble.
Bad Belly walked on, shivering. He reached the river bottom and waded through the snow of the broad floodplain. The cottonwoods stood stark and gray, their branches stippled with black buds that lifted toward the patchy clouds of the sky. Engaged in a quest for a summer that never seemed to come, he stopped at the thick fringe of willows along the banks and stared morosely at the roiling river. His chill grew fiercer at the sight of the clumps of snow and ice floating on the turbulent dark waters. He turned to follow the river north to the hot springs and glimpsed a figure stumbling along the opposite shore. By instinct, he grabbed Trouble just before the dog started to worm through the willows, to drink from the river, no doubt. Holding the dog, Bad Belly crouched down. He couldn't tell much about the bundled figure except that it carried darts and an atlatl. That was enough to create a squirmy feeling in Bad Belly's empty gut. He glanced around. Could his tracks be seen from the opposite shore? Whoever this was, chances were good that he wouldn't care for a lone stranger like Bad Belly. The figure stepped down the bank, reeling slightly as if exhausted or wounded.
Oh, Trouble. What did we do? Blunder into some kind of war?
Man on the far bank began to undress.
All the insanity. Who in his right mind would...
The woman ignored the freezing cold, washing herself in a way that made Bad Belly blush despite his chill. She scrubbed and scrubbed at herself as if to cleanse every part of her shivering body. Then she jumped again, as if frightened, and plunged headlong into the river.
No. Don't do it. Trouble. She doesn't look strong enough. What about when she reaches this side? She'll be half...
The woman rose, slipped, and fell. Bad Belly jumped to his feet, trotting along the bank. The pack and robe she carried whirled away with the current. He bounced from foot to foot. He could see her strength failing as she floundered and could imagine the aching cold that would be cramping her muscles. Would he have to watch the woman drown before his eyes? Bad Belly ripped off his coat and peeled out of his shirt, leggings, and pants. He charged into the river, terrified that she'd be dead by the time he reached her. Cold shocked his already chilled flesh as he splashed toward her. He reached her, bobbing on his toes. The intense cold stunned every nerve in his body. Bad Belly grabbed a handful of her hair. She struggled weakly.
Hang on to me!
The woman managed to slide her arms around his neck in a chokehold as he battled to stay afloat with his good arm and to push off the greasy rocks on the bottom with his cramped toes. Drained, cold to the bone, Bad Belly sloshed out of the shallows and pulled her onto the stony shore beside him.
Can't stay here.
Somehow, they made it to his clothes. He wrapped her in his coat, pulling moccasins and leggings over the icy pain of his feet. His shivering made the chore twice as hard.
Warmth. We need warmth.
Bad Belly's thinking turned muzzy as he tried to figure out what to do. They needed warmth or they'd both die. She had lain down and seemed to have lost consciousness. He stared at the surrounding white. The plume of the hot springs rose in a mounded white pillar to the north. Hot springs? Hot water? It didn't look far now. All he had to do was follow the river. How could he get her there? His mind went blank. Use the robe for a sled. He rolled her limp body onto the robe and set out. His feet pained and goaded him. He blinked against the fatigue. Warmth. Blessed, wonderful warmth, not so far ahead. Reason seemed like a slippery fish. Why was he doing this? Who was this woman he towed? Where was he, anyway? He stared at the unfamiliar country and lost his purpose.
Pull the woman to the hot springs.
Pull her to the hot springs. He dragged the woman and the robe onto bare ground. He'd made it to the hot springs. He pulled with all his might, tugging the resisting robe over the mineralized stone to the edge of the pool. In a daze, he splashed into the water, shocking his flesh for a second time that day. Wonderful heat rose along his skin to tingle like 1,000 stinging needles piercing his flesh. He sucked lungs full of the steaming sulfur air and splashed into light, until his glance happened to fall on the unconscious woman. Perplexed, he stared, wondering where she'd come from. He sloshed out and pulled the woman off the robe. He tugged the coat off of her and got his good arm under her shoulder, lifting, splashing into the water with her. He settled her into the pool. The heat soaked into his own shivering body. He kept her nose up, enjoying the sensation of her hair streaming around him. He tried to think and gave up. Killing cold did that, shut off the mind. For the moment, he would simply sit and let the heat drive the cold from his limbs. Hours later, the sun had sunk low against the high bluffs to the west. Bad Belly's thoughts remained disjointed, his head muddled with fuzz like cattail down. White Ash drifted in warmth, her thoughts broken and confused. A pungent odor, that of sulfur and noxious minerals, clogged her nostrils. The nightmare played itself out again. She screamed as Three Bulls choked her into submission, his hot breath on her cheek. She relived the pain as he penetrated her. Ghostly images of the wolf people's raid on the white clay lingered in the background.
Nothing is left. All the beauty is gone from the world.
To live, you must be reborn.
Golden light filtered in bars through a gray haze. A face formed in the golden glow. The handsome young man smiled at her, and a path opened to her heart.
The bundle waits for you, Mother of the People. Prepare yourself. Find yourself. That which was, like all of life, is no more. To know, you must learn. To feel, you must experience. To dream, you must hope. All else is fantasy and imagination illusion. The way must come from the knowledge of the past, the pain of the present, and the hope of the future. What seems real is not. All about you is illusion. As a dart is crafted from rough wood, stone, feather, and gut, so is a leader of the people fashioned. The power of the dreamer comes from strength. Like a dart shaft hardened in the fire, you can become more than you were, and less.
You talk in contradictions.
Contrasts, good and evil, light and dark, are the source of life and illusion. Only the one has no contrasts. Only the One is real. All that is and is not. Prepare yourself and seek the bundle. Through it, you will experience the One. You must prepare the way. The seeds of the future will be planted by your words, your actions. Mother of the people, only you can renew the dream.
Who are you?
Fiery rays shot forth like darts to illuminate a golden forest swathed in flames that danced from bough to bough. The image of the burning forest melted into a curiously warm vision of a blizzard-scoured land of snow and ice. A young man lifted a wolf heart to the frigid air, greedily sucking the warm blood from the steaming muscle.
Wolf dream!
The vision spun, storm fading into a golden mist. A young man knelt in a clearing surrounded by jutting bastions of rock. Before him lay the carcass of a black wolf. The man extended his hands and lifted the heart from the body while a shimmering illumination grew around him. White Ash could feel power renewed, as if a multitude of souls cried out in jubilation. The heart the young man held up to the night sky grew bright like a star and rose in a gleaming haze.
Mother of the people, all that was is no more. You are renewed by the waters, born again as is the seed cast upon the Earth Mother and given life by water from above.
White Ash turned her head, catching the sight of flaming wings.
Thunderbird, I am truly dead.
Reborn.
White Ash and Thunderbird sailed out over the snow-shrouded basin. The Grey Deer River glinted silver in the light of the stars.
Come the brothers, born of sun. One is slain. Here by the long trail his corpse is laid. Blood is spread from the head. Black One goes. Aye, he's dead. He who loves is lost and gone. Render of the fair heart song. Woman, weep, for naught you know. South, ever south we go. Find an end to the blowing snow.
On mighty wings, Thunderbird dove from the dizzying heights. White Ash choked a cry of fear as she felt herself falling, whirling and weightless. The earth below blurred into a gray haze, and with it a sudden emptiness of her soul. The peaceful floating returned, warmth massaging her flesh.
Am I dead? Is that what this feeling of warm peace is?
White Ash blinked her eyes and came awake to the feel of water lapping around her body. She filled her lungs, sucking in all the cool air she could hold. Her heart beat strongly in her chest, blood rushing in her veins.
I'm alive.
Stars poked through the shadowy patches of night-shaded clouds. A light breeze blew foggy steam past her face. The air around her felt warm, despite the snow that lay deep on the surrounding buttes. She moved, feeling the body under hers shift. After images of the wondrous dream burst like ruptured bladders, Three Bulls leered out from her haunted memories and grinned through the hideous wreckage of his face. Panic seized her.
Are you feeling better now?
Don't hurt me. Please. Just don't hurt me.
Easy. You're safe. At least for the moment. You almost drowned.
Drowned?
In the river. You tried to cross and lost your footing.
Memories came rushing back, killing Three Bulls, the terrible flight from the rock shelter, the lurking dread dogging her footsteps, futility and fear.
Who are you?
I am Bad Belly, a man of the Round Rock clan.
Round Rock? The Earth People? Then I've crossed the Sideways Mountains?
No, you're still north of the mountains. You see, it was all Trouble's fault. He followed a wolf up the mountain in the middle of the storm, and I got lost when I went to find him. The snow was blowing terribly, you see. The only way I knew to go was down. The left hand must think I'm a real idiot.
Trouble? He? Another man she might have to fight off? White Ash steeled herself.
Trouble?
my dog. There he is, over by the rocks there.
She made out the shape of a black and white dog who watched them with cocked ears. Her fear slackened. He didn't look like much of a dog, but the light was poor.
I don't understand.
I don't either. I think it's because of the power. Are you the dreamer?
Dreamer?
She could feel him nod.
The dreamer. A friend of mine, Warmfire, said that I was supposed to leave Larkspur's camp and go north to save the dreamer. I guess I don't really believe it, despite the power dream I had. You see, generally, in the legends anyway, power sends a hero to rescue people like dreamers. I'm not, well, very heroic.
I'm no dreamer.
A long silence stretched while she waited for him to move, prepared to strike back when he reached for her. She should flee, leap from the water, and dash away into the darkness. But dash where? Running quick hands over her body, she realized that she lay naked. Wet and naked, how long would she last out in the snow?
You're not the dreamer.
No.
Then I made a mess of things again. I was hoping you were the dreamer and I might be able to go home. That is, if Trouble and I can find the way.
White Ash's mind began to function again. Killing this man might not be so difficult. Then she could make her way... where?
What are you going to do with me?
Do with you?
Are you going to rape me too?
Rape you? Oh. Is that what happened? I saw the bruises when I pulled you out of my coat. I mean, I...
She could feel him shake his head.
Who'd do that sort of thing? I mean, what sort of man? Is that who you're running from? Maybe we should get away. No, we better not. My clothes are wet.
I killed him.
Blood and guts, what did I say? He'll be on guard now. I'm not thinking clearly.
White Ash bunched her fists, ready to attack. But he only sat up to stare at her. In the darkness, his image was nothing more than a shadow. What had he done to her while she lay helpless? The thought of it sickened her.
He beat you, too, didn't he? That's where the bruises came from. And the marks on your breasts and face.
When he gestured, he did so with only one hand. Where was the other, holding some weapon? She got her feet under her, ready to spring should he attack.
Can I do anything to help?
I've had enough help already.
He splashed at the water with an absent hand.
You seem to be afraid of me.
Shouldn't I be?
If you are, you'd be the first person who ever was.
Do you have any food?
No. I didn't think I'd be gone that long.
And you haven't been hunting?
I got a bad arm. I can throw a dart pretty well, but it takes too long for me to knock another dart in the atlatl. By the time I have another one ready to throw, the animals are gone. Generally, I dig for roots or pick berries. Larkspur used to send me out to pull up sagebrush. Otherwise, I'm good at knocking off rabbits and sage-grouse with a rock.
White Ash blinked in the night, some of her fears eroded by his honest words.
Windrunner, where are you when I need you?
She closed her eyes.
Oh, Windrunner? No, not now. How could I ever let another man touch me? No.
Are you all right? Are you going to cry again?
Cry?
You did that a lot. You'd sort of sleep and cry at the same time, like something terrible haunts your dreams. I was afraid that you might have...
You said our clothes are wet?
I guess I wasn't thinking too well by the time I got you here. I just sort of walked into the hot water. Getting real cold does that. It affects the way you think. All your things were washed away when you tried to cross the river. Between us, we have my robe, a coat, a shirt, leggings, and moccasins.
One set of clothes? She'd have to kill him after all. His clothing meant survival. But then, if he really proved to be as inept as he seemed, maybe she could steal them and fade away into the night. He could take his own chances. She bit her lip to stifle a sudden guilt. Steal his clothes? Condemn him to death by exposure?
He's a man, just like Threebles. You watched your people being killed. You've been raped and chased and starved. It's your life or his.
The rocks are warm. I put the wet things on them to dry, but you know how leather is. It'll take until morning, probably.
Where are we? The big hot springs?
Yes. This is supposed to be a power place. Maybe it is. I was just upstream of it when you almost drowned.
White Ash shook her head, more of her memories coming back. Terror had driven her into the water, forced her to try something she knew she couldn't do. She rubbed her fingers together, feeling the dried plum texture of waterlogged flesh. She would wait for morning, wait for light to see by, then act. She let herself sink lower into the warm protection of the water, rubbing her face in an effort to stay awake in case he attacked her. He searched for a dreamer? She shook her head, but couldn't dispel the haunting dreams she'd had, or the words that preceded her awakening. She glared across the stream.
Just make it till tomorrow, White Ash. Then you can kill him and be gone.
Bad Belly sat on the rocks above the spring and watched the morning brighten the eastern horizon. He hadn't been able to sleep after the woman woke in the night. He waited until she'd propped herself in the shallows and drifted off to sleep with her head pillowed on a rock. Then he carefully stepped out of the water, shivering in the night breeze. After he found his damp coat and robe, he'd sat and rubbed Trouble's ears as he considered his dilemma. He took up the willows he'd gathered earlier and stripped their bark while he mulled over his worries.
She isn't the dreamer?
Bad Belly worked the bark into a crude net, using his teeth to pull the knots tight. In the growing light, he stared over at her, touched by the beauty in her face. The soft light hid the bruises on her cheeks and caressed the curves of her body. No wonder a man had desired her. Bad Belly motioned to Trouble before he retraced the path down to the bank of the river. After all that time in the water, he could almost pity a fish. His feet burned from the cold as he waded along the bank, but he found the right place, a ledge where the current had undercut a thin layer of sandstone. Settling himself, he eased down on his belly and extended his left hand. Moving with great care, he lowered his net ever so gently into the water and hoped the bark would hold. A man could do this so much more effectively with two hands.
Life's just not like that. I don't have two good hands, and I saved the wrong woman.
Still, the thought brought contentment. He, Bad Belly, the man most people considered a burden, had jumped into an icy river and saved someone's life. Irritation evaporated and he smiled happily. No matter what happened, he'd relive that day until he died, which, given his present circumstances, might not be very far away. The net he lowered so gently touched the bottom, and the current swelled the weaving of bark into a basket. He reached with his shriveled arm and began to gently poke it under the bank. He might not be able to hold anything with his useless arm, but it could function for a stick when needed. Dark arrows shot into the basket. Bad Belly pulled up the fragile net with the flopping rewards. Three fish, each as long as his forearm. He rolled back, careful to rest his net on the ground before the frantic fish broke it apart. One by one, he flipped them up onto the bank, where Trouble pounced on them. He stared down at his good hand, rubbing the thumb over his fingers. Why had his skin swollen and become all wrinkly in the water, while the fish skins stayed so firm? Was it the slime on their thin hides that protected them? Or was it something about the skin itself?
Think about it later.
Another 100 steps down the bank, he found a similar ledge and snared another few fish. By the time the sun crested the high ridges to the east, he'd managed to catch 10, not counting the ones Trouble gobbled down. His net had fallen apart, and he couldn't feel his feet anymore. But food waited. Bad Belly plucked up his catch and dropped it into a fold in his robe. Trouble trotted along behind as he climbed up on the rocks. No woman lay in the pool. Bad Belly stared around and found her frantically trying to pull on one of his wet moccasins.
Wet leather is like that. Let them dry a little more first. That's why I went barefoot.
She shot him a terrified look and froze, caught in the motion. He walked closer, happy to have the warm rock against his cold, numbed feet.
Is something wrong? Is someone coming?
She shook her head, a terrible desperation in her eyes.
I've got fish. Today we'll eat.
She seemed to deflate then, and realization washed over him. He stopped, cocking his head.
Please, don't fear me. You were going to run away, weren't you? And take my clothes?
She glared at him with anger and resentment. Bad Belly looked down at the bodies of his fish.
It's all right. You can have my clothes. Run away. I won't stop you.
He walked over next to the pool and dumped the fish. She walked toward him, one foot clad, the other moccasin hanging from her hand.
You just let me have your clothes? In the name of Thunderbird, why?
Bad Belly gestured futilely with his good hand. After all, he'd saved her life, hadn't he? Maybe that's why her betrayal hurt so.
I can't know everything that's happened to you. Maybe your need is greater than mine. You're a woman alone. When I look into your face, I see terrible things reflected in your eyes. Maybe taking my clothes will keep you alive and get you back to your people. Maybe where someone can take care of you and keep you safe.
Her shoulders slumped as if her spirit had fled.
You believe that, don't you?
I have to. The world works in funny ways. It's full of puzzles, things people need to think about but never do. I mean, look back at things that have happened in the past. Surely you know someone who lived when he shouldn't have. Maybe 5 people were walking along a ridge and lightning killed all but one. Then, later on, that one person happened to be present at a time of flood, or maybe at a landslide and pulled someone to safety. And that someone grew up to be a powerful healer and saved lots of people's lives. Things just work in curious ways, that's all.
She stepped closer to him. The haunted expression on her face was frightening.
My people, the White Clay, are all dead.
But you speak my language. I thought the Sun People spoke funny.
Her hard stare pierced him. She reached up to rub her eyes.
I don't know what's real anymore.
It's all right. Think about it on a full stomach. Then you can go. And I'll eat only one fish. That way you can take some with you. It might make the difference.
She raised a finger and shook it at him.
You don't make any sense at all. Doesn't it make you angry that I'd take your clothes and run off? How do you feel? About me, I mean. You ought to be, well, enraged.
Bad Belly lifted his hand in a placid gesture.
It hurts, that's all. It makes me feel sad that you do that. But I think I understand. The last man you saw raped and beat you. Maybe if I were you, I'd steal someone's clothes too. And like I told you, life is full of puzzles that people need to...
Puzzles? We're talking about survival here. And you'd let me eat your fish?
There are plenty of fish. I'll make a better net next time and catch lots of them.
What sort of man are you anyway?
I guess I'm just me. The only sort of man I can be.
She stared down at his bare feet.
I hate raw fish.
He gestured toward the uplands.
You could make some fire sticks. I think there's some chokecherry up there in the drawback of the butte. You'll need something to cut it with. I saw quartzite cobbles in the river. You could get one of them and knock a few flakes. What's wrong? You look sick.
She turned her ashen face from him. He could see her fists knotting as the muscles in her shoulders tightened. She lifted her face toward the sun, black hair spilling to catch the light.
Why don't you do it?
You've got one of my moccasins on, and you're wearing the rest of my clothing. And besides, you might not want to come back here. It's your chance. If you think you need to take it, go.
She wheeled around, beautiful eyes flashing.
I'll go cut some chokecherry. And I'll be back. I owe you that much.
North America's Forgotten Past, People of the Earth, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 1990 by W. Michael Gear and Kathleen O'Neill Gear. All rights reserved. published by arrangement with W. Michael Gear and Kathleen O'Neill Gear. All rights reserved. Production copyright 2011, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Nanette Savard as the narrator, Thomas Keegan as Bad Belly, Yasmin Toison as White Ash, Dylan Lynch as Left Hand, Thomas Penny as Windrunner, Stephen Carpenter as Brave Man, with Barbara Pinolini, Jeff Allen, Christopher Sheeran, Joseph Thornhill, Colleen Delaney, James Konacek, Terrence Aselford, Kimberly Gilbert, Tony Nam, Ken Jackson, Christopher Graybill, and Lily Beacon. Directed by Nanette Savard. Produced by Rick Rowan and Wayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Brian Rogers and Patrick Stratton. Book adapted for graphic audio by Timothy Lynch. If you enjoyed North America's Forgotten Past, be sure to look for Rogue Angel, available at Road Stops Everywhere, at 1-800-670-5220, or at www.graphicaudio.net.
Graphic Audio presents E.E. Knights, Vampire Earth.
Gate codes! Is that what you want? There's a spare back door key!
I don't want access to Weathercut. I wanted you out of it, Franklin.
But I'm nobody important. I don't even have my own room.
That's the problem with being a nobody important. Somebody might decide you're disposable. Kind of like that teenage girl back in Arkansas. The one you, Bernardo Gutierrez, Tom Cray, and Sergeant Heath Hopkins raped and then killed.
No! I mean, you got the wrong guy!
No!
What kind of op is this?
We're clearing this housing complex. D-O-E-R.
Of what?
Destruction of enemy resources. You can't stand to actually see a doer?
Enemy resources? You mean the population?
Without a population to feed on, the Kurians pull out.
No objections, I hope.
Objections? Hell yes! For starters...
Hop off your high horse, Valentine. Clearing operations work. Your old man invented them, after all.
He's hot. Sir, is he entering up as a bear?
No. I simply opened the channels. He shouldn't have the biological resource. Wait. Design, help us. I forgot. Oh, me. Your father was a bear, I believe.
I think so.
You may have had the talent passed down to you.
We better isolate.
Oh, and he needs calm now more than anything. Oh, me. I've been a fool, careless. I expect he'll go mad.
You, at the other end. Talk, or I make your puppet into a corn dog.
Stop it.
What do you want?
Are you Seattle? The head honcho?
No, I am but a keeper of...
I want to talk to your chief. King, grand and exalted overlord, whatever he calls himself. The one in the big tower. Tell him I have an offer.
What could a human give such as he?
Adler, the leader of the Resistance.
Vampire Earth, Book 6, Valentine's Resolve.
Available now in graphic audio.
What's up?
I've got a case. I need you, Danny.
She pushed the file toward me. There were homicide Lay's photos. Gods above, when was this?
4 months ago. Look past the body.
My eyes moved over the picture. A pile of something wrinkled laid off to one side. Is that what I think? Oh, don't tell me it is.
The fucker flayed her.
Remember! Remember! Remember!
I don't want to remember Rigor Hall. I have done very well for years without remembering.
Welcome to the House of Pain.
Have a nice night.
It is extremely unlikely.
Rigor Hall. I swore I'd never go back.
Dante Valentine, Book 2, Dead Man Rising, Part 1, is available now in graphic audio.
Remember Rigor Hall.
If you can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD format or digital download. If you're on the road, call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220. Or www.graphicaudio.net. And if you're looking for a great way to try out a different graphic audio series, check out our convenient and easy-to-store long-haul box sets, which contain up to 5 books of a series. Available only at www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Twitter.